أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. أما بعد, so we begin in the متن نزهة النظر, which is Ibn Hajar Asqalani's sharh of his own نخبة الفكر, where he talks about ثم جهالة. ثم الجهالة يعني this is in نخبة. He says then the next form of تعن, the next form of criticism of a rawi, of a narrator, is jahala. What does jahala mean? Jahala means when you don't know, being ignorant of somebody's condition. Yani jahil, we call somebody who's ignorant. Jahala is ignorance. Not the ignorance of the scholar of hadith, but the ignorance of the state of that narrator. Now, subhanAllah, the tulab ilm and awam, regular people, even if you're not a student of knowledge, you need to study this just to appreciate the precision and the care the ulama, the scholars of hadith, took in ensuring that everything that is attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam authentically has been verified. Meaning, if we look at today and somebody says George Washington did this at this battle and he gave this talk at Gettysburg, or any cultural country, background, history, when they talk about Stalin gave this talk, you don't really know. I mean, if you ask who was there in person who heard that talk, who was there when Abraham Lincoln said four scores and whatever, we don't know. We read it in a history book. We don't even know who the author. If I asked you, if you are from, let's say, Egypt, and you say that Anwar Sadat gave a speech at this day, and I told you who was there, even if you could, the best you will say, it was in a history book. And if I asked you who wrote that history book, you wouldn't know. Allahu alam, but this is the usual case. If you're American, you say, Thomas Jefferson signed this at this time, and I asked you, well, who was present there? You don't know. If you could know the name of the person present there, whoo, you're good to go. You're like, wow, he's a historian. But look at the precision of the ulema of hadith that we'll talk about today, inshallah. And then keep in mind how accurate the science of verifying and authenticating a hadith is. طيب, ثم الجهالة. Then there is the unknown state, as you could say, of the reporter. Ibn Hajar Asqalani, in Nushat al-Nadr, he says, بالراوي, and he explains جهالة of what? Of the narrator. وهي, and this is السبب الثامن, this is the eighth reason في تعن, in criticizing of narrators. And then he says وسببها, and what are the circumstances, what are the means of something being called, narrator being called مجهول, which is the جهالة. أمران, أمرين, or two different reasoning. And then he gets into quite a bit more than two, but we'll talk about what he means by that. Tayyib, when we talk about a majhul rawi, usually we talk about majhul al-ayn, majhul al-hal. These are the two well-known. Mubham we'll talk about as well. But Ibn Hajar Asqalani here is kind of going deeper and saying, well, how does that happen? Like, how does it happen that you don't know the condition of the person? So there are a few different ways. One would be if the narrator has numerous or many different names. What do I mean by names? As Ibn Hajar Asqalani also explains in Nushat al-Nadr, somebody could be known by their kunya. For example, his name is Abu Abdullah. His son's name is Abdullah, so he knows Abu Abdullah. So this is one way you can know him, Abu Abdullah. But his own name may be Muhammad, for example. So somebody else may not know him as Abu Abdullah, but rather they know him as Muhammad. Tayyib. His father's name could be Ahmad, for example. So people that knew him from childhood may know him as Ibn Ahmad, the son of Ahmad. Tayyib. He may have more than one son. He may have an older daughter. Some people, they're known by their daughter's kunya until they have a son, and then they're known by their sons, and so on. So people may know one person. He may go to a different town for tijara, for business, And people may know him by his town. Like, which guy? Oh, that the Herati guy, the Kandari guy, the Dehlawi guy, people in the old days, they would know you by where you came from as well. So a person may be known, for example, today, most people, if I ask you, what is the most authentic book of hadith, you will say Sahih al-Bukhari. And if I ask you who wrote it, you will say al-Bukhari. And if I told you, no, Muhammad ibn Ismail wrote it, you would fight with me, no, Bukhari wrote it. But in fact, Imam Bukhari's own name is Muhammad ibn Ismail. And you see, for example, today, if I told you the hadith was reported by Abdurrahman ibn Sakhr, many people may not know who that is. But if I said Abu Huraira, same person, everybody would know who that is. If I said, I'm on the madhab of Nu'man ibn Thabit, people may be like, which madhab is that? You made up your own new madhab? Because Nu'man ibn Thabit is well known as Abu Hanifa. So, this shows you that somebody could be known by different names. And this is one of the reasons for sometimes a narrator to be called majhul. And this is very important to understand. And I'm going a little bit deeper than our Nukhba Durus on purpose, because this is a development from that. When we say a rawi is majhul, is unknown, it doesn't mean this is mutlaqan. Yani it could be that to that scholar of hadith, like Imam Bukhari sometimes says, لا يعرفه, يعني we didn't know him. Talking about if when he asked Imam Ahmad or another Imam about a particular rawi, he may say that he didn't know him. Or لا نعرفه, we don't know him. لا أعرفه, I don't know him. That doesn't mean he's necessarily unknown. But sometimes a rawi, like generations later, people go through all the books of biography and they say, you know what, we do not have a biography, we don't know who he is. We'll talk about whether we have his name and how many reports and so on. But that may be a real majhul rawi. Yani we never got a biography for him. So what happens here? And there's a difference of some opinion in the earlier ulema. Nowadays, the ulema of hadith have come to a consensus that a majhul rawi is not acceptable. Tayyib? Usayb ibn Hajar says that as well. But sometimes we may say, I don't know him. For example, a scholar of hadith will say, La'arafu, I don't know him. Okay? But another scholar of hadith does know him and did document his biography. So that rawi is no longer majhul. Now we know who he reported from, how many people took hadith from him, what was his hal, his condition, his dabt, his precision, his adal, his moral character. So he's no longer majhul. So be careful to understand this science in the way it should be used. Tayyib ibn Hajar Asqalani, so he gives this, and I'm kind of summarizing from here, but I will mention in summary some of what he says here. He goes, for example, his ism, yani his name, his nasab, his laqab, his title, his occupation, his description, his ancestry, these things may be used to refer to him, and he may not be known by them. Because he is not known by them, only to be mentioned by a name that he is not known by or known by may change his hal in accordance. So it is assumed that he is this somebody. In fact, he may be somebody else. Or بالعكس, يعني, it may be assumed that, that these are two different narrators. And then when you look in the biography, you find out it's the same person. I'll give you an example of that in my own case. My son is Yusuf. So I'm known as my first son, my first child. So I'm usually known as Abu Yusuf. The brothers here mostly know me as Abu Yusuf. When I was studying in Emirates and Jordan and things, many of the brothers I met and many of the scholars I met knew me as Abu Kutub. Why? Because my teacher at the time had given me a kunya, Abu Kutub, the father of books, because of my love for books. So many of those brothers didn't know me as Abu Yusuf. They knew me as Abu Kutub. Now, those that knew me growing up may know me by my first name, not by my kunya, Uthman. Tayyib. And a lot of my writing I used to do under Ibn Farooq, because my father's name is Farooq. So somebody may say, you know, I sat in the dars of Abu Yusuf, and people say, who's Abu Yusuf? We don't know an Abu Yusuf, because they may know me as Ibn Farooq. But in the end, it's the same person. So as long as you can connect that and clarify, you're good to go. Tayyib, here we have a science dedicated to clarifying the unknown names of narrators, or the when there are narrators. So you have ulum of hadith. You have the sciences of hadith. Within that, you have mustalah al-hadith, which is a particular science within the sciences of hadith. Within that, then you have يعني علم الرواية، علم الدراية. Then you have in علوم الحديث، you have شروع الحديث، you have كتابة الحديث، you have يعني أحكام الحديث. You have so many different sciences. Within مصطلح الحديث then you have other sciences. And one of them موضح, which is the clarifications. And in it there is a category of books written for موضح, يعني to make واضح. موضح يعني to make clear that which is مبهم. يعني and then ابن حجر الاسقلاني in his book نزهة النظر he gives some recommendations about some of the books that have been written, for example by الخطيب البغدادي. And then he says before him سبقه إليه, يعني before him it was عبد الغني ابن سعيد المصري and هو الأزدي. طيب and then he says an example of that is also what Muhammad ibn Sa'ib wrote as well, Al-Kalbi. And يعني he talks about these kinds of works that have been written in this science to clarify those names of narrators that may be known by different names to connect those together. And then he gives a very nice example. He gives an example, the نسب بعدهم يعني إليه الجدي, يعني there is a narrator, his name is Muhammad ibn Sa'ib ibn Bishr al-Kalbi, as we just mentioned. This is from the Imthal. Regarding Muhammad ibn Sa'ib, some of them gave him the name Muhammad ibn Bishr after his grandfather. What was his name? Muhammad ibn Sa'ib ibn Bishr al-Kalbi. But some of the people gave nasab towards his grandfather. And that happens. Why? His grandfather may have been well known. For example, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. We say Ahmad ibn Hanbal. But his father's name is not Hanbal. His father's name is Muhammad. He's Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Hanbal. But he's well known as Ahmad ibn Hanbal because Hanbal, his grandfather, was a well-known person. We say Ibn Rajab. Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali. Ibn Rajab is also, his father's name is not Rajab. Here it is also further down. So sometimes a person gets known with nasab to his grandfather due to different reasons. One of them being that his grandfather may be somebody famous. For example, if we talk about a king or a famous scholar and the child may not be as famous, but the grandson, for example, becomes famous, you will say, who is this man? They will then recognize him through that famous person, whether it be a king or a scholar and so on. So here in some of the books they wrote his name Muhammad ibn Bishr. So yani some of the people are confused by that. And because at a time in his life he was called Muhammad and some of his family call him Hamad. So yani sometimes a child has more than one name, even if they're close. For example, a mother may want to give a certain name to a child and a father may want to give something else, and or he had a certain name and then they decided to change that name for some reason. So in some of the books he's known as Hamad ibn Sa'ib. Sa'ib is his father's name. And some of them know him as Abu Nadr. Yani this is a kunya. Yani ba'dahum, yani they're known as Aba Nadr. And some of them know him as Abu Sa'id. And some of them Aba Hisham. Why? Because those are all different children he had. And people that knew those children would call him by those kun, by that type of kunya, and so on. So, in the end, he is the same narrator. So, if you have the biography of Muhammad ibn Sa'ib ibn Bishr al-Kalbi, then even if he is called Muhammad ibn Bishr, or if he is called Hamad ibn Sa'ib, or Abu Nadr, or Abu Sa'id, or Abu Hisham, you can connect those if the one he's reporting from is his teacher and the ones that are reporting from him are from his students and we know this name was used for him, we can clarify that. And this is good because we give an example here of actual narrator in hadith. Now there is more to this. There is also, there could be an example given of the second reason. Yani we talk about two reasons in this type of Jahala, and we'll talk about other types like Majhul Ayn and Majhul Hal as well. The other reason being the reporter only reported a few times and thus reports were not taken from him often, and the scholars did not compile his reports other than just one hadith. Meaning There are some well-known scholars in hadith. يعني if you look at Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Yahya ibn Ma'in, and you will find them in many asanid. طيب. You will find Sufyan al-Thawri or Sufyan ibn Uwayna, or you will find other scholars that, you know, al-Dahhak and them. You will find them in many, many narrations. So because they're in maybe thousands of asanid, their biographies are well-known. But sometimes you have somebody who's only in one sanad. And he's only reported one hadith. He wasn't a great scholar of hadith. He was just a good person, maybe. Maybe good, maybe not. We don't know. So now, his biography is not known. He was only in one sanad. So this is called, yani, when there is one. And this science of knowing those reporters, it's called wahdan. Al-wahdan. And this is, again, a science where books have been written in this science. And sometimes what happens is that there is only one narrator from him, and from the scholars that compiled, either he reported only one hadith or only one person reported from him and so on, but he's not well known. So in this science there are mubhamat, yani those books written dedicated to ambiguous narrations as well. Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani also gives some names of scholars who wrote in this science. He said those who collected in Wahdan, from them being Muslim. Yani this is one of the well-known books that's been put together by Imam Muslim. And other imma and ulama like Hussein ibn Sufyan, that he mentions here. He has a book called Isaba, and he also has a Risala on this. There is also any many other works we could get into, but I'll stick to the ones that he gives as examples here, inshallah ta'ala. So he says these are people who wrote books particularly in the subject of those narrators that only mentioned one narrator. Then there is those mubham, those unknown, yani ambiguous reports. There are also entire works dedicated towards that. Before we get into mubham, regarding the changing of names, there this is not in Nusha and Taf. I'm going into, inshallah, a little bit of a sharh of it. There is more than one reason this happens. Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani mentions the very innocent way of doing it, meaning somebody really has more than one name. They're known as Ibn something and Abu something, and by their first name and so on. There's no malice here. طيب. Here what you have to do, you have to find out who this person was. Do we have a biography for him? Do we have reports from him? If we find it, alhamdulillah, he is known. If he has good dhabt and adal, we accept it. If he doesn't, we don't. We're good. But there are those who change the names on purpose. And this would then go into tadlis. Tadlis al-shuyukh. And we talked about this earlier in the durus. So that becomes, unless you're doing it out of respect, that becomes a little more focus with malice. And it has been done by those that tried to fabricate a hadith and fabricate names. But the ulema of hadith then would go and check who he reported from, who reported from him. They found their biographies, who they were married to, who they made children, how many children they had, what they did for profession, and so on and so on. And when you tried to make a fictitious character, they would catch it. And they would physically go and find out who reported the hadith, who did he hear it from. Oh, this guy, he's dead. Okay, where is his grave? Where was he buried? Where is the town that he lived? Like, this is the work that went into this. May Allah reward those ulama of hadith. Tayyib. Then we get into mubham, mubhamat. And this is another science, and books have been written in this subject. This is where we have ambiguity about the reporter. Because the reporter is not named from the one that he is reporting from due to shorthand. For example, فَقَالَ شَيْخِي, my sheikh said to me. Tayyib, if, like, for example, Imam al-Tirmidhi, if he said that, we know that he would refer to Imam al-Bukhari as Shaykh, yani Muhammad ibn Ismail. And sometimes he would say Shaykh Muhammad ibn Ismail. Tayyib. Ibn Muflih, for example, when he would say Qala Shaykh, or Ibn al-Qayyim, we know he was referring to Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, because that was the one he would call. Abu Dawood, for example, the Muhaddith, when he would say Qala Shaykh, he was referring to Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. For example, in Masail, Imam Ahmad, right, so on. So those are known. But sometimes somebody may say, قَالَ شَيْخِي, and we don't know who this sheikh was. So this becomes مُبْحَم, this becomes ambiguous. Or, قَالَ لِي رَجُل, a man said to me. Sometimes somebody says, فَأَخْبَرْنِي أَحَدْ مِنَ الصَّحَابَةَ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم. I was informed by one of the Sahaba of Rasulullah. Now this is مُبْحَم, but here there is a level of acceptability because for sure that this person is telling the truth and he's thiqa, the one who said the statement, then the Sahaba are all yani adilun, they're all just, so we accept from them. But you have this type of ambiguous statement that is made, and this is also under being majhul. So this is called mubham, yani when it is ambiguous. And scholars have written this in this field, mubhamat, and as I mentioned earlier, the hadith of being mubham, what is the hukam on it? Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani says that it is unacceptable. طيب. Now I'm going to say, there were those ulama that accepted them. But yani, as the science of hadith developed, no doubt the ulama of hadith came to a consensus, you cannot accept a mubham hadith. Why? And how? Some ulama in the past said, you know what, we trust Muslims. If there was a Muslim, we have good husnad done, he was telling the truth. But the ulama of Jarh al-Ta'dil and ulama of Hadith said, when you give a shahada in the Quran, for example, the ahkam of the one who gives shahada, it has to be from those that are known for their adl, their adilun. So this means, yes, we think good about a Muslim, but that does not mean that we accept everything as a testimony without knowing the character of the person. And if this is true for a case in Sharia, it is more true for attributing something to the Prophet ﷺ. So the consensus across the board now is that a mubham hadith is da'if. When you have a mubham rawi, unless you can clarify who the person was, it is weak. It is, the person is majhul. Tayyib. Ibn Hajar al-Qalani says this is yani the most correct opinion and so on. And he continues. We want to get into the issue of majhul al-ayn and majhul al-hal, as Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, he continues to talk about this, and then he says that if it is reported from one, then this is called majhul al-ayn, and if it is two, then this is majhul al-hal, and this is also called mastur. So I'm going to take from Nusha and explain that, inshallah. So if we have a report, yani something that is being reported, and it is reported from a singular source, yani, then this is called, yani, this is going to be majhul al-ayn. We'll talk about a little bit khilaf ulama here as well, but we'll get to that. So if it is from two or more reports, but the person is not verified, then he gets to be called majhul al-hal. And some of the ulama also use the term mastur for this, as Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani also mentioned that. Ibn Hajar says a group of scholars have accepted such narrations without condition, yani with a majhul rawi, but the jumhur, they rejected, and that is correct. And then he talks about those that said you just pause, like you don't give hukam on it in that situation, like Imam al-Haramain. If you don't know Imam al-Haramain, he was a famous scholar. His name is Abdul Malik ibn Abdullah. He's famous, you know, as Imam al-Haramain, and Ibn Salah, the famous scholar we talk about many a time. So here, now we have three types of majhul narrators. One is mubham, we're not clear, because the name either is not connected or is by a name that he's not known by, tayyib, or he's not named. Yani, for example, he said, فَقَالَ لِي رَجُلْ مِنْ بَنِي فُلَانِ, you know, tayyib. So here we have mubham. Then you have majhul al-ayn and majhul al-hal. These three terms should be learned by the students of knowledge. Mubham is when the narrator is not clarified in the hadith. Majhul al-ayn is where the narrator's name is mentioned, but by only one who narrates from him. So this is, and I'm going to bring you some of my own examples here, inshallah, from my notes to benefit. Mubham, I think that should be clear. Majhul al-ayn, it's not that we don't know who he is. Like mubham, we don't know. Like it says, a man said to me, well, who was that man? Any, somebody from this tribe. Well, who from this tribe, right? My sheikh, well, who's your sheikh? My uncle, well, which uncle, right? That's mubham. But let's say you come to me and said, Sheikh Muhammad said this. And I ask you, well, who's Sheikh Muhammad? And nobody knows Sheikh Muhammad. He's not known anywhere except one person, the only person that reported from him. This would be an example that we don't know about their condition. We have a name, but we don't know anything else. And only one person ever reported from him. So this is called Majhul al-Ain. Tayyib. Example of this, there is Amr Dhul-Mur. Yani this is one of the narrators in Hadith. He's only been reported through one sanad, and we don't know his hal, so he's Majhul al-Ain. Until today, and it's not one of those cases where it got clarified. Jabbar al-Ta'i, Sa'id ibn Dhul-Huddan, Abu Ishaq al-Sibi'i. Yani these are some of the ones mentioned by Ibn Salah that I had in my notes from my own durus. Those people that were Majhul al-Ain as actual examples. Then we get to Majhul al-Hal. Tayyib, and that's also called mastur, is when two or more people have narrated from an individual, but yet we don't have jarh wa ta'dil on him. Tayyib, what does that mean? Mubham, we don't even know. Tayyib, majhul al-ayn, only one person reported from him in one sanad, that we don't know his condition. Majhul al-hal, we know his name. Multiple people have reported from him in different asanid, but the ulema of Jarh wa Ta'dil have not criticized or accredited him. So what happens now is somebody is a narrator in hadith, and Ibn Hibban, for example, says he was a liar. I went to his town and they said he was a liar. Tayyib, khalas. Jarh has been done on him. He is not majhul. We know that he's extremely weak. He's a liar. Could be mawdu' matruk, depending if he actually lied in hadith and so on and so on. Then you get somebody as a separate example. You have a narrator in hadith, and Imam Ahmad says, I went to his town, I met with him. He was well known to be honest. He was a talib ilm. He studied with these shuyukh. These were his tulab, and so on and so on. Not majhul. We know him. Thiqa. Strong. He's been, yani, ulema have done ta'adil of him. Imam Ahmad, scholar of jarh wa ta'adil. We good. Then you have somebody that we don't have that report about. He is in many asanid. We know his name, we may know his tribe, we may know his area, but we don't know what kind of a person he was. So he becomes majhul al-hal, which is a lighter weakness than the others, but it's still a weakness. Why? Because the ulema of hadith are so careful not to attribute to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that which the Prophet did not say. So we still say, until we can know for sure that the rawat have adl and dhabt, And there is a tahsal of sanad, and there is no ilal, and there is no shudud, then we cannot call the hadith sahih. Tayyib. There is a lot of discussion of ulema regarding this type of a situation, but I will mention, which Ibn Hajar does not mention, but I'm going to mention for the benefit of tulab, a couple of exceptions to the rule here. Sometimes a thiqa, strong scholar of hadith, reports a hadith from a person that we may not have a biography of, but we know that scholar to verify those people before accepting their reports, and we will use that to be authentic hadith, because we come under the assumption here now that that scholar took that responsibility. And this is rare, but Ibn Salah mentioned some examples, and I'll mention them as well. For example, Imam al-Bukhari, he mentions from Qais ibn Abi Hazim, and he reports from Mirdas al-Aslami, and this is the only sanad that you have like this. But we know that who the person was, we know where they were, and we know Imam Bukhari verified these, so those would be acceptable. The same is true as Imam Muslim, who reports from Abu Salama ibn Abd al-Rahman, who reports from Rabi' ibn Ka'b al-Aslami, and this is the only time we have this type of a report, but we know Imam Muslim to have verified them, so those are acceptable. Tayyib.